With Hashem's help, we'll begin to learn some of the Torah of the Gedolim of America on Parshas Vayeshev. And we'll begin this week with a very intense, dramatic, well-known drasha that Rav Soloveitchik gave back in the early 1970s that is published in his famous work, the Chamesh Drashot, in Yiddish, the Finif Drushes, in English, published as The Rav Speaks. The Rav gave five famous lectures after joining the Mizrahi, after transferring from the Agudas Yisrael in his early years to joining the Mizrahi, a transformation that he underwent in his own life, a transformation of Hashkafa in a certain sense. The first of the five drushes, of the five lectures published, is the drasha of referred to, and that's published as Vayachlam Yosef Chalom V'yagid Lachav, the dream of Yosef, that Yosef dreamed and he told his brothers. And over here, we're not going to do the entire drasha, obviously it's tens and tens of pages, but the one of the main themes in early on in the drasha, not the very beginning, but a few pages in, is the Rav goes through the narrative at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. It's probably going to be all we're going to have time to focus on for today's learning. Mircham will get to some other Divrei Torah over the course of this week, because this is very involved and very dramatic very elaborate. But Mircham, it's incredibly beautiful, incredibly dramatic, and incredibly meaningful. So the Rav begins by going through the story of Yosef and his dreams in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev. And he says, we have to understand that when Yosef dreamed his dreams and communicated his dreams and shared them, so he was really putting himself out there on a limb. He was really putting himself out there to be outcasted, to say the least, by his brothers. And the Rav says such a thing is not simple to wrap our heads around. For Yosef, one of the brothers, one of the Shvatim, to allow himself to be cast aside, allow him to be outcast by his beloved brothers, would mean that he's no longer surrounded by the Gedolei Hador, the leaders of the generation, no longer connected to Shevet Levi, the Yoreh Mishpatecha Liakov, the one who's teaching Torah, no longer connected to Yehuda, not Shevet Levi, excuse me, Levi himself, no longer connected to Yehuda, the Manhig, the leader of the generation, the leader of the brothers, that provided leadership and guidance, and no longer connected to Binyamin, the representing the Chassid, representing the devout and wholehearted, dedicated Eved Hashem, and the Rav says Lo haita chavaya ne'ima, that for sure Yosef putting himself out there, causing himself to experience this incredible disconnect from his brothers, was an unbelievably uncomfortable situation. Sof, at the end of the day, Yosef haita gadlut b'torah, hanhaga v'chassidus. Yosef himself was an incredibly pious individual. His brothers are pious individuals, and he would go ahead by his dreams of the Torah. Teaches us of them in the beginning of the parsha, and sharing them with his brothers, caused him to have this incredible machlokas and distancing from his family. And the Rav asks the obvious question. The Rav continues and asks the obvious question. This incredible tragedy, the becoming an outcast, becoming totally. And the beautiful drama that the way the Rav paints the picture, Hare Gershuas Yosef Min HaShtiblach, they kicked him out of the Shtiblach. He was no longer wanted. He was no longer wanted around the people that he loved, the people that he admired, the people that he spoke the same language of, shared the same Torah as. He was no longer part of the chevra. And the obvious question that the Rav asks is, Ma be'emet gazalad menuchato shel Yosef? What was driving Yosef? Why was he so intent, so focused Obviously, he had the dreams, okay, but sharing the dreams and sharing his visions, sharing his prophecies maybe with his brothers. Why was it necessary for him to do that and create this distance and cause himself to be removed from Knesset Yisrael, from Kal Yisrael? And the Rav says like this: Yosef shel haChumash lo haya batuach ki veYishuv Yaakov beretz Meguri Aviv yatmid laorich yamim. Yosef had a hunch, probably a lot more than a hunch, that the reality that they were currently in of Yeshivas Eretz Yisrael, of setting up the family, setting up the tribe, setting up the community in Eretz Yisrael in peace and harmony and tranquility and having, you know, being anchored, Yosef had a strong hunch that this was not going to last. Be'oznav tziltzelu tamid hamilim ki gerya zaracha. In his ears rang that prophecy that Hashem had told his great grandfather Avram Avinu, that his progeny, his offspring, would be strangers in a strange land. He saw the world changing and he saw the future unraveling in a way that was going to end up with him and his family and his brothers and their children and grandchildren in a foreign land, with new realities and new challenges. He saw that they were gathering sheaves, and the Rav understands so beautifully that this implies a massive culture change, a massive new challenge of the family of Yaakov Avinu. Because when they were back in Eretz Yisrael, they were shepherds. But they're going to go to a new place, a new reality, that they're no longer going to be shepherds, they're no longer going to be Ro'ei Tzon. Rather, they're going to have to involve themselves in new meshek, new industry. Im tzorot chayim chadashot, and life will look differently. Midot v'chukim, new cultures, new characteristics, new ways of life. We'll no longer be able to support ourselves from being shepherds. We're going to have to learn agriculture. We're going to have to learn new ways of sustaining ourselves, new arts and sciences and technologies, carving stone and chopping wood and metalworking and craftsmanship and all types of new things in a new reality that we must prepare ourselves for. And the Rav sees all of that in Yosef's dreams, that he's aware that life is changing. The future is taking them to a new place, a foreign place, a strange place, a place that's going to demand lifestyle changes and some sacrifices and challenges. But that's where reality, that's where the story of the family is unfolding in that direction. But Yosef, what was driving him? And the answer to the Rav's question is, what was driving Yosef? He saw history unfolding. He saw things changing. He saw a certain type of progression in the historical story and a narrative of the family of Avram, the family of Yitzchak, the family of Yaakov, and he saw that things were moving in a certain direction, and he decided that we need to be proactive. We need to be dedicated to the journey, to the Mesorah, to the tradition and the work of Avram Avinu, but we also need to prepare ourselves that the surroundings are going to change. The culture is going to change, and we can't just close our eyes to these changing realities. However, ha'achim lo hevinu mikevan shehem istaklu al atid kemshecho shel ha'oveh. But his brothers, great tzaddikim, great gedolim, great scholars, wise people, they weren't able, or they didn't see, at least, they didn't see things happening the way Yosef saw them. Et kol ha'bayot hem ra'u b'mizgeret shel ha'chayim be'eretz Kenan. They saw things unfolding locally in Eretz Canaan, Beretz Megurei Avihem, B'Sviva Vatika, in their ancient land, with their ways, with their surroundings, in their society, Be'ir Ha'avot HaBeitit, in the place of the Avos, in the place where their heritage had already unfolded, they did not accept that it would unfold anywhere else, any way else, in any different type of reality. It was all going to happen where they were. Lo hayu zekukim l'tochniot chadashot ve'lo haya lahem tzorech b'shitot kalkaliot achirot. And the brothers, on the other hand, what irked them, what bothered them so greatly was, they said to Yosef, and they felt so deeply about Yosef's perspective, what are you doing? We are here. Let's make sure that we strengthen ourselves here in this reality, in our ancient reality, with the place where our avos live, the place that we are, the place that we are meant to be. Let's make sure that we strengthen our values here, locally, and not start making some crazy plans for some, you know, wild unfolding of history with all these new frontiers and challenges and needing to bring the Masorah of Avram to some into a new world with new challenges that the future would bring. We're here right now. We don't need to go ahead and plan for some, you know, prophetic vision of any challenges that may be. And doing so is maybe even somewhat a type of kfira, trying to play God, chas v'shalom, on a certain level, play the hand of history when we have to do our shtadlus for what we have in front of our eyes. And the Rav continues. Yosef Shalachumish, Misaper, he tells, V'hinei Hashemesh v'ayareach v'echad sar kochavim mishtachavim li, that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars will bow down to me. What did the Rav see in this? Yesh tarbut chilonit, there's a secular culture, technologia gdola v'atzuma, technology on the rise, that's showing incredible niflaot, incredible wonders, u'mishanei yusodot chayenu, causing life to completely change. Amnam be'eretz Canaan, but here in Eretz Canaan, yecholim anu listader biladeh. You're right. Where we all are right now, we don't need to make new plans, make new arrangements, embrace the technologies and the science and the advances that we have. You're right. As things stand right now, we're secure and we're doing well. And our culture and we can successfully keep out secular culture, etc. However, says the Rav, what did Yosef claim? Just going ahead a little bit. Ha'imut yitkayem lo be'eretz Canaan. This confrontation between us and the new world, the modernity and the new challenges of culture and technology, etc., they will take place, but not here in Eretz Canaan, not where we are. Shuma sham ha'chayim zarim le'itam. Ela be'eretz chadasha zara asher sham ketzav ha'chayim mu'atz b'harbei v'chol yom mitchadshim. But in a foreign land where we're going to end up, things are going to change, things are going to look different, and that's where we're headed. That was the Havtacha, that was part of the bris, that was part of the covenant between Hashem and Avram, and we're going there, and I see it happening. I'm able to see into the future, so to speak, and that's really what Yosef's incredible vision was. I'm able to see where things are headed, and we must make a plan, we must prepare ourselves for the changing realities that the Gzeir of Kadosh Baruch Hu is taking place in Eretz Lolahem, in this foreign land. And im lo niyem muchanim latnaim achadashim tivlau tanu asfiva. And Yosef claimed, and if we don't prepare properly, if we don't realize that this is where we're headed, that Jewish history is going to be unfolding, not here in Eretz Yisrael, but we're going to go down to Mitzrayim, and we're going to go into Galus, and we're going to have these challenges, and we're going to have to face incredible hardships and new difficulties, not here safe and secure in our own homeland. If we don't prepare properly for it, we're going to be swallowed up by this new reality, by this new surrounding. Ulam ha'achim anulo, but the brothers responded. Bahadi kavshi rachmana lamalach, right? The famous Gemara in Brachos by Yoshiyahu and Yechezkel, that who are you to play God? How can you go ahead and share these dreams and share this vision and make these plans for the future? How can you take history into your own hands? You have to let Hashem run the show. We don't know when Hashem's promise to Avram that you're going to be foreigners and strangers in foreign lands is going to take place. We don't know when, how things are going to happen. All we have is what we see in front of our eyes. Right now we're here. We have a life of holiness and purity and focus, and we're able to keep out the outside world. Don't go ahead and change everything on your hunch. We can't go ahead and be scared of the future. All your visions, all your prophecies, all your dreams, leave it be. Leave it be. We're here right now. We have our kedusha, we have our tara, we have our focus, we have our families, we're building, we're growing, we're here, we're in Eretz Yisrael, we have it all. Aval Yosef b'shalo, but Yosef knew in his own way, with his own perception, with his own depth, with his own prophetic insight, that he was right and the brothers were wrong. Lo haya betuach klal, the klal b'status kavu ha-politi v'akalkali shel Beis Yaakov b'Eretz Kanan v'lo chadal mi-hatrot achav. Yosef knew, and he had this very strong hunch, prophetic hunch, right? He had these dreams. The status quo is not going to be maintained. The political realities on the ground are not going to last. He felt his position very strongly, and his brothers felt their position very strongly, as the Torah records. They had jealousy, they had anger for him, and they had hatred for him. They hated him for his dreams, for his visions, and what he was presenting. Says the Rav, Haim Yosef Ravi Machav Bivadai, was Yosef fighting with his brothers? Absolutely. And was it a machlokas shalahem haital shem shemaim? Bivadai, bivadai. For sure, completely for sure. Yosef histakel al goralam shal bnei Yaakov minigudat mabat shal atid eifel. Bilti batuach mistori bot kuyam hagzera shal geria zaracha. Yosef had this hunch, he had this feeling. It wasn't clear, he couldn't say exactly how it's going to play out, he couldn't say exactly what's going to happen, but he knew that things were going in a certain direction that demanded drastic measures, that demanded taking things into our own hands. And preparation and a change of perception, a change of mentality. The brothers wouldn't accept it. The brothers in unison, all together, said, no, you don't have a clear looking glass. You don't have aspaklaria meira latid into the future. B'mufla mimcha al tidrosh, like Chazal tell in the Gemara in Chagiga. That which is hidden from you, you can't go ahead and start telling the future. Et atid yesh l'shpot l'fi ahuveh. You can only judge based on the present. You can't judge the future. Anu yoshvim b'aretz Kanan, we're here, the reality is here. Ein anu tzrichim ve'ein anu reshayim l'hitkonen l'krat ha'eretz she'ein anu makirim ota u'l'krat atid she'mechuseh meitanu. We can't go ahead and start making plans for a future that's hidden from us. And this is this very fundamental machlokas between Yosef and the brothers. Yosef has this incredible insight, and this incredible prophetic vision and dream about where things are going. And he wants to make plans for it. He wants a little bit to innovate. He wants a little bit to make preparations in order to be able to be successful and survive and hopefully even thrive in the new realities that Gullus will bring about and the next stage of history will bring about. The brothers say, no, right now the facts on the ground are we're fine, we're flourishing, we're thriving, we're doing okay, we're doing fine. We don't need to go ahead and make all these plans for the future, and don't start playing God. Don't start taking the initiative of the development of our people into your own hands. Let's strengthen our identity, strengthen where we are, build stronger walls, build barriers in order to make sure that where we are doesn't become affected and we don't have to go into this gzeira of Gullus. Yosef, on the other hand, said, you can't argue with history. You can't argue with development, and we must accept it, and we must plan properly. And the Rav continues, "B'machlokas l'shem shamayim zu paska hashgacha ki Yosef." But as we know, as the story plays out, that Hashgacha, that divine providence, paskind, decided in lines with Yosef. V'rak hodot l'chalmotav shel Yosef nitzel beis Yaakov me'avdan. And obviously, as we know, it's going to play out for the rest of Chumash Bereishis only because of Yosef's dreams and because of the vision and because of the way things happen, that Yosef ends up in Mitzrayim with the ability to save his brothers and save the entire family in the midst of the great famine. That's the reason why the brothers were able to be successful, the family was able to be successful and survive in those hard times. Lulei chalomotav shel Yosef, haya kol beit Yaakov garua b'rav. Had it not been for the fruition of Yosef's dreams, the entire family would have withered away in a famine. Zoita chalil v'chas tkuma l'mesorat Abraham u'b'chiras Yisrael lo hayta mitgashemet. And this was the only way that the covenant of Abraham would be able to come true, and the chosenness of the Jewish people and the family of Yaakov Avinu would be able to continue. Now the Rav, in great courage and passion, takes that paradigm of the machlokas between Yosef and the brothers back in the days of Parshas Vayeshev, back in the days of Chumash Bereishis, and he makes a direct correlation to Jewish history of the last of this. Joshua was given around the year 1973. 1972, 1973, and he correlates, again, the Joshua was given to the world Mizrahi, which had been founded in the beginning of the 20th century, in around the year 1902, near Tuf Reish Samach Beis, which the Rav references multiple times in this Joshua, and he refers to the Mizrahi as the Yosef Shel Tuf Reish Samach Beis, the Yosef of the year 5662, which was 1902. And the Rav says that the Yosef of 5662, meaning the Mizrahi, meaning the religious Zionist movement back in the early, in the very beginning of the 1900s, also represented this exact same paradigm as Yosef, as opposed to another community which represented the brothers. Achinu agdolim gdole Yisrael v'kedoshe elyon ha'erichu et ha'atid minikudat ra'ot shel hova shalav v'saveya kasher ha'kilot shel brisk moliv kaslovich lubavich hayu shlemot kasher b'deknesiot l'me'ot v'l'alafim hayu mele'im lomdei Torah mitpalalim. The Rav says that back in 1902, one would look around at the Jewish world of all those cities that he mentions, Brisk, Moliv, Kaslovich, Lubavich. One would look around at all those cities and see incredible centers of Torah, incredible centers of Judaism, incredible centers of Jewish of Jewish worship and Jewish community and tefillah and Talmud Torah. Kasher Shlom Emunei Yisrael Hayu Rov Minyana V'Rov Binyana Shel Ha'uma Yisraelit. And it was a time when Jewish vigor and the Jewish community was strong. Kasher Yehudi Arachov Yehudi Beit Hamidrash Hayu B'chinat Matov Manaim Shevet Achim Gam Yachad. That the in the Jewish world there is unity between the Jew of the Beis Medrash and the Jew of the street. Lefikach Hayta Datam Ki Litchaber Yehudim Shel Europa Maravit Shelo Hayu B'Chelkam Gadol Shomer Mitzvot U'Maminim Gadolim Ma'aves Hakana LeYadut. And those Jews of Lithuania and White Russia in Eastern Europe, where there's still an incredible fire of religiosity, fire of Torah, fire of piety, an incredible dedication to, in the shtetl lifestyle, and things were strong and things were thriving, and they kept a very, very clear delineation between, the quickly assimilating Jews of Western Europe, of Germany, etc., that were very slowly, that were very quickly, assimilating and leaving traditional Judaism. And they said, we need to keep our safe distance in order to prevent any dangers, any risk. Hem achenu hishtamshu b'pasuk b'tchavrcha l'rasha paratz Hashem ma'asecha. Hem b'chlal dachu kol ma'aseh matanim imachulin. Ki kol helech machshavotem me'inyanehem v'gshotem ayu rivui kedusha v'hasviva adayin hayta tuna harbe kedusha mesorah v'torah. And they said, we need to keep a safe distance. We can't allow any infiltration of this modern secular Jewish world, this world coming about from the enlightened Jewish world from Western Europe. And we need to make sure that our boundaries, our walls are strong in order so that we're not infiltrated. Yosef Shel Tefresh Samach Beis, the Mizrahi, back in the early 1900s, came along and prophesized without really knowing what he was prophesizing. And that's the Rav based on Rashi and Breishis, Memheyud Ches, that he was prophesizing without really knowing what he was prophesizing. I believe that was over there, that's by Yaakov Avinu, if I'm not mistaken. Gamu Skimim Machav Agdolim, that the Mizrahi agreed, in essence, with his brothers. Kim Lishpota Tidach Shvofer Tahove, in Shum Hatzdakal Hitachdut Imachoshim. That to plan for the future based on the current realities is. To judge the future based on the current realities, there's no logic. There's no logic in connecting with those and unifying with those who have assimilated and who have left traditional Judaism. Ulam, however, bilibo shel Yosef shel Tefresh Samach Beis, but the heart of Yosef back in 1900, meaning Yosef of the Mizrahi in 1902, who had this incredible feeling, this passionate hunch, who saw on some level, and maybe some were really able to see it coming, saw the Holocaust coming, saw the incredible cataclysm, saw the incredible storm, the incredible destruction that would rage through Europe, that would rage through Poland, that would rage through Russia and Germany, that would rage through the entire world of Eastern Europe. And that destruction, they felt it. Maybe they didn't even know what they were feeling, but they felt it. They had this feeling. This incredible empire of Torah and Yiddishkeit and yeshivos and frumkeit and chassidus and piety, it was at the top of the world, and who would ever think twice that it would come crashing down? Who would ever think that the whole thing would come crumbling down? Yosef shel Tefresh Samach Beis hirgish instinctivity. He had this instinct. He had this hunch. Ki hashalva hamenucha hasheket ubetach, the harmony, the quiet, the peacefulness, the serenity that existed in that shtetl world of Eastern Europe, that the brothers were living in, that the world of the Gedolei Yisrael, the world of the yeshivas, the world of the Eastern European Jew. Einam ella mikesem shav. It's a magic, but it's going to be a fleeting magic. And Yosef of Tefresh Samach Beis, the Mizrahi, had a dream. V'hinei nachnu ma'alumim ma'alumim. We need to prepare for a new reality. We need to prepare for a shift, for a change in ideology, a change in culture, a change in our business practices, a change in, we used to be shepherds, now we need to be prepared to be agriculturalists. Why? Because we're going to be in there's going to be a new world that we're surrounded in. We are going to have a direct encounter with the secular world, just like as you mentioned before, Hashemesh ve'ireach ve'charasar kochavim, that we're going to come in contact with this bright new world of modernity. And there's no choice. That's where reality is headed. Yosef shel Tefresh Samach Beis, the Mizrahi, hirgish ba'orech bilti mudah, and they felt in a way that they couldn't even explain it themselves. Ki asur listamech al status quo, that we can't rely on the status quo of the current reality. Ki shinuyim gedolim yacholu, big things are changing in the Jewish world. V'chialeinu liyot muchanim, we have to prepare ourselves. U'mizumanim, we need to get ready l'shinuyim eila, for these changes. Uchashet boash al tkuva, a new age in our history is coming. Shelo bebrisk, velo bevilna, velo beminsk, that's not going to be in any of these empires of Torah, where the yeshivas were, like Kasher America Tiapech Lamakum Torah Bekasher Eretz Israel Medina Israel Titkonein Merkaz Shel Torah. A new age is coming. Just like Yosef and the brothers ended up going down to Mitzrayim, ended up going down to Goshen, and that would be the place that would allow them to thrive, it would allow them to survive the next stage of history. The next stage of history for Klal Yisrael is not going to play out in Eastern Europe. It's not going to play out in Vilna and Brisk, etc. It's going to play out in America, and it's going to play out in Eretz Yisrael. Those are going to be the Torah centers, and we need to prepare for it. And that's what the Mizrahi was saying. That's what Mizrahi was saying back in 1900. I just want to conclude, just to read the end of this drasha in English, just for the sake of time. Now I'm reading from the English version of the Finnish drashas in English, where the Rav concludes like this. I would like to ask a simple question. What would the yeshivas and Torah scholars rescued from the Holocaust, those burning embers taken from the fire, have done if the Joseph of 5662, meaning the Mizrahi, had not trod a path for them in the land of Israel, had not made possible the transplanting of the tree of life of Lithuania and other lands in the Holy Land? I sometimes think that were the great brethren of the Joseph of 5662, world-renowned genius personalities in Torah and sublime saints living today, they would also discern the divine miracle in the establishment of the state of Israel, and they would utter a song and praise to the Holy One, blessed be He. Meaning, the Rav's conclusion is that this machlokas that was going on between Yosef and the brothers of, do we follow this prophetic hunch to prepare for a new reality, even though it may mean leaving the comfort and the security of the world that we live in, and ended up coming true that really it was Yosef's vision that allowed for the future of the brothers of the family of Klal Yisrael. And that exact same paradigm plays out in modern history, plays out in Europe, the kingdom of Torah that was built over, a few hundred years, 500 years, in Ashkenaz, in France, Poland, Germany, England, Lithuania, Russia, the incredible empire of Torah and Yiddishkeit that did unbelievable progress for the Jewish people. Over the course of those centuries, at a certain point, a new trend, a new vision appeared on the scene, and the Rav, speaking to the Mizrahi movement, that saw and felt that the undercurrent of history and the way things were going. They didn't have a prophetic dream the way Yosef HaTzadik did necessarily, but they had a hunch, and they were students of history, students of Jewish history, students of Hashkafa Yehudit, of Jewish perspective on reality, and they were able to see where things were headed, the trends of nationalism, the trends of that were developing in the world at large and in the Jewish world, and what was going to be the next stage of history. And they couldn't give a clear explanation, as the Rav said so poignantly, but they just felt it, and they knew that something was going to happen. And because of their hunch that they acted on, right, and that's religious Zionists, and obviously their connection with the secular Zionists, which is a major topic of this, of the sensitive topic in this discussion, how acceptable that was, and how necessary it was, and how proper it was. But whatever you want to say in retrospect, and obviously, hindsight is always 20/20. But in retrospect, to those decisions that were made for the building of Torah in Medina Israel, in Eretz Israel, and then what became Medina Israel, Baruch Hashem, and then allowing the building of Torah in America as well, that the Rav adds in. Because of that forward thinking, because of that vision of Yosef HaTzadik, that vision and the vision that the Mizrahi had, the vision of people who see history developing and sometimes take the reins into our own hands in order to save Klal Yisrael and allow Klal Yisrael to continue to thrive, instead of being on the defensive, instead of just trying to push away the trends of history, push away the natural flow, the natural continuity of where history is taking. And this is a massive question, and certainly something that every Jew has to ask themselves nowadays. Every community has to ask themselves nowadays, and there's no easy answers. Just like in the days of Yosef and the brothers, there was no easy answers. In the days of the early 1900s, in the Torah world, there were no easy answers, and to this day, there's no easy answers. But the message of the Rav is that we need to be consciously searching for what the Ratzon Hashem is, what Hashem wants from us, and there may be different opinions. And I believe the Rav would say Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chaim, that there's not one right answer, but certainly from being the beneficiaries of the visions of Yosef and the visions of those great people, the Mizrahi, that allowed history to play the course that it did, we certainly can see that sometimes it's hard decisions that need to be made and innovative decisions that need to be made for the continuity of Klal Yisrael, for the continuity of Torah, for the continuity of Jewish communities. And in Yetzir Hashem, we should be zochah to never be faced with such difficult decisions. We should be zochah to Gula Shleim as soon as possible. But until then, know that there's a lot that is at stake in different stages of our history. And Hashem should bless us with clarity to be able to understand things and understand His will to the best of our ability in order to do what's best for ourselves as individuals and for the Jewish people as a whole. To be continued.